The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
And now, it's time for a Deep South legend that's been keeping it real here in Atlanta for over two decades. It's the Buck Ballou Show, only on The Fan.
Time for the Buck Ballou Show here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7. A special guest joins us now on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. Let's bring on Braves manager Brian Snitker. Joins us on The Fan. Snit, you've been making the rounds, doing a great job out there talking about this Braves team. How you feeling with about 10 days left in spring?
Cold down here right now, Buck.
It's going to warm up soon.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be a great day today. No, we're doing great, man. We've had a great spring training. The guys are getting a lot of work. It's been very productive. I'm just sitting out here right now in the dugout. Got done hitting some ground balls to these guys, and they're working out. And I'll tell you what, it's been a really, really good spring. It's been a normal spring for a change. My best friend just walked through the door here, Pete Moylan. It's awesome. It's Jonathan Chadwick. Shoot, we got them all going on.
Hey, no big announcements today, right? What can you tell us about the shortstop position? Everybody's asking up here.
Well, you know what? We got one. We're going to play when we go out there on opening day. We're going to have somebody playing it. I'll tell you that.
What impresses you about Braden Shumake?
You know what? Just, you know what? The kids, he's growing. He's maturing. I think, you know, he's the more, you know what, though, too? The more these guys play, the better they get. And Shoes, he's maturing. I think as a player, he's getting stronger and had a really good camp.
We're looking forward to seeing how that shakes out. I tell you what, I've been surprised. I'd sort of forgotten we had some depth as far as the rotation goes with the way Schuster and Dodd have been pitching this spring. It's been very impressive. This must be encouraging looking at the 162.
Very, very impressive. Exciting, I think. I just, you know, you love when your young players start, you know, showing up and you know, Dodd and Schuster both have done unbelievable this spring. They've both been very poised, very together. Their arsenal's really good. They fill up the strike zone with strikes. And it's really cool when you can have your own players that start, you know, producing and maturing, and it's a really good thing.
Snit, you guys have been so deep and really strong in the bullpen. You got a couple of new faces down there. How you feeling about this pen getting the season started?
No, I think we're going to be good. You know, we got Kirby Yates back. Joe Jimenez, got him in a trade. They're both actually pitching today. So I'm anxious. You know, I get excited when these guys get out there because, you know, it's got a chance of being really deep. You know, we got to keep everybody healthy. Minter's been throwing the ball extremely well. Iglesias has been throwing the ball. Colin McHugh, Dylan Lee. Well, you know, Lucky that we added from the Yankees. I mean, this is a guy kind of a sleeper that's had some really good years with the Yankees. And we feel really good about our pitching overall.
Well, I tell you, I look at your batting order, look at the lineup, and I'm thinking we're going to score some more runs this season. What about Ozzy? How's he looking? Expecting him to have a big bounce back year after those injuries last season?
I mean, Ozzy's doing everything really well. He's been swinging the bat really well. You know, he's going to be out there for seven innings today playing defense, doing really good. Matt Olson, Riley, all them guys. I mean, Michael Harris has had a really nice camp. We got Eddie Rosario back today for the first time from the WBC. We'll probably have a Ronald Acuna sighting here in a couple days once he gets back in. So, you know, and our catchers, it's good, man. I'm telling you, I'm really excited about this club. I'm really excited about getting this season going, seeing how we shake out. But overall, like I say, I'm really proud of how the guys came to camp and the work ethic that they've displayed this whole 6-week period.
Boy, you guys have taken us on a great ride here the last couple of years. And Max Fried's been a big part of that, and he's been spectacular this spring. Looks like he's in mid-season form.
Yeah, he was yesterday. I'm telling you, that was about as efficient and as good as I've seen Max. And, you know, Max is one of those guys that he's never satisfied. I mean, he's always trying to get better. He's always looking for that edge. He's very dedicated to what he's doing, which is really cool. And you know, he's getting to know a new catcher in Sean Murphy, who's made a great impact here in the short time that we've had him. So, you know, I'm a big, big Max Fried fan, I'll tell you that.
Tell these Braves fans out in Braves country what to expect out of Sean Murphy, a guy that's been a little bit under the radar because of where he's been, but yeah. Just a great pickup. Tell Braves fans what to expect out of him.
Great pickup. I mean, he's one of the elite throwers, elite catchers in baseball. I mean, I knew he was big. We played against him, but he's a monster. I mean, this is a big, strong kid. It's what catchers look like. He's bought into the program here. He's very invested in our pitchers, just as like Travis is. It's about as good a 1-2 punch as you're going to have in Major League Baseball at the catching position.
All right, got Tampa today. What, 9 games left in spring training? What's the goal, just to get everybody to the finish line of spring training, ready to go for the season opener?
Yep. I mean, these guys are in great shape. You know, we got a day off tomorrow and then a long bus ride to Lakeland. And after that, I'll probably start getting these regulars in there every day and stretching their innings. But, we just want to get through this thing healthy because I think the repetitions the guys are getting and the at-bats and everything's going in the right direction.
Have you had a chance to see DeRosa running the show for Team USA and the WBC?
Yeah, I texted him the other day and said, now you know why I don't have any hair left. You know, and it's good. You know what? It's good. I text Max too. I saw him, you know, handling that bullpen phone and everything in the dugout, and they've done a great job. I know they've had the time of their lives in doing that, and more than likely their wives are going to get ticked off because they're probably going to, you know, restir that itch that they got for baseball.
Isn't it a little complicated when it comes to the pitching side of it? I mean, our lineup looks great, and boy, they're scoring some runs, but it is it's pretty delicate at this point in time in the season handling the pitching staff.
No, I'm sure that's D-Row will have some and Mac will have some story because it's, you know, it's tough when you have all those restrictions on guys and you got to, but you have to operate like that because the health of the player is the number one thing. And hopefully, you know, it coincides with winning the tournament. But it's not an easy job, and I'm sure it's a lot harder than what he ever thought it was going to be once he's living it.
All right, Snit. So, these Braves fans, man, they're excited about the season. What can you tell them as we about get this thing underway here about what to expect out of this ball club you've got?
No, they should be excited. These guys are raring to go. It's a great group of guys. Again, it's going to be a really tough division, as we well know. But you know what? It's why we play the 162 games. So the guys are excited. We're all excited. We've had a great time in Florida. The facility here has been unbelievable. And I think everybody's going to be excited once we get up to Washington here in another week or so.
Got Acuna back in camp yet, coming off the WBC? He looks like he's ready to go and have a big season.
No, he's been running around in center field that whole thing. So, you know, we'll get him back in here probably after that Lakeland trip. And he's, you know, he was running around and we got some really good reports on, you know, his physicality and all that. So, like I say, we got Eddie Rosario back. He'll be in the lineup today. And, you know, in a couple of days, we'll be back to full strength.
Looks like the outfield situation's really strong. You got some options there as far as the depth goes. That's a really good situation for you.
Well, Alex and his guys have done a great job of bringing in a lot of athletic outfielders. I mean, it's some guys that they're tooled up, and we got some good options, really good depth. The guys that don't make the club, they go to AAA. We're going to have weapons down there if we, you know, win and if we need them. So they did a really, I think Alex, like I say, Alex and his guys did a great job of providing that depth because we saw the other day with Jose Altuve how precious that can be. So we've done a good job in that.
We'll finish up strong. We're excited to see you back in Atlanta soon, Snit. Thanks for your time today.
You got it, Buck. My pleasure, buddy.
Brian Snitker, Braves manager, joining us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker Line. Braves taking on Tampa today, 1:05 start. Going to open the season in 10 days on the road. They're going to be here at Truist Park before you know it. Looking forward to this 2023 season. And checking out this new Braves team. Great having him on. All right, we got a lot in store for the show today. We're coming back on the other side talking about a Falcons trade that's got everybody talking. We'll break it down for you. Plus, a big dance bounce as we run through the NCAA tournament. How's your bracket looking? Mine's looking terrible. You got the Buck Belue Show here on the Fan, 680 and 93.7.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Belue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit jimellis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
My recital, I think it's very vital to rock
around.
That's right,
on top.
It's tricky. Here we go.
It's tricky to rock around. To got the Buck Belue Show here on the Fan, 680 and 93.7. Streaming at 680thefan.com. Hey, everybody, you can click and watch and get that Fan mobile app driven by Beaver Toyota. Fastest and easiest way to shop online. Let them wow you up and coming. At Beaver Toyota. Great to have Brian Snitker on the show as we get ready for a start, the start of another Major League Baseball season here in Atlanta. And no big announcements were going to be made today, but the handwriting is on the wall, the best I can tell, as far as the shortstop situation goes with your Atlanta Braves. Looks like Braden Shoemake is a guy that has earned the job. And I'm just going to go with the fact that under John Schuerholz and Bobby Cox, and I believe I mentioned this last week, the Braves have put a premium on outstanding defense, especially at premier positions like shortstop. And Shoemake, a better defensive player than Vaughn Grissom is at shortstop. I mean, that's just the fact of the matter. And he showed that down in spring training. His range is better, which comes in handy in the big leagues, when you can go in the hole, make the throw, the long throw over to first, and still be able to get guys. Now, Vaughn Grissom, sure, he swung a big bat last season, played a pretty solid second base in an emergency situation when Albies went down. And we've heard a lot about him working with Wash during the offseason. Sure, a lot of you expected to see Vaughn Grissom in that opening day lineup for the Braves, playing shortstop, but the handwriting looks like it's on the wall with Shoemake as the opening day shortstop. I mean, why else would he have played five consecutive days at shortstop if he wasn't going to be the starter? I don't think that is an experiment there, trying to get him ready to go. Now, this shouldn't mean that you're going to give up on Vaughn Grissom. I mean, he could start the season at AAA, work on his game. Who knows? Get called up later. Doesn't mean he's out for good. But looks like to me that Shoemake is going to be the guy as we get the season started. Now, he's hit the ball in spring training, Shoemake has, which is encouraging. So, yeah, you're not just getting strictly a defender at the shortstop spot. Guy's putting the ball in play. I would expect him to hit at the bottom of the lineup in 10 days as we get the 23 season underway. All right, that said, let's get to Buck's big take. That wasn't it.
Buck's big Big Take.
Don't know about you, but I'm digging this World Baseball Classic. And so is Trey Turner. By the way, a little easier to pull for Trey Turner when he's wearing Team USA. In case you missed it, Team USA crushed Cuba. Beat up on Cuba last night, 14-2, and the new Philly shortstop pounded two home runs, driving in four. As we moved into Tuesday night's finale, gunning for a repeat in the WBC. Jerk and Mets fan Keith Oberman commented at the end of last week. He called the WBC meaningless, quote unquote. And he wants to, and I quote again, kill it. Wants to get rid of it. No surprise there. Oberman is a miserable, self-confessed know-it-all with zero American spirit. Trey Turner disagrees with Oberman in that meaningless take. After Turner's epic grand slam that beat undefeated Venezuela, Trey called it the biggest moment in his baseball career. USA! The biggest moment in his career. USA! Why? Because he's playing for his country and wearing a jersey with big USA across the front of it. And that's exactly why these big league stars like Mookie Betts, Mike Trout, Goldsmith, Arenado, Schwarber, Realmuto, Pete Alonso, and my man Adam Wainwright signed up to play. By the way, Wainwright, fantastic. The old man stepping up big in the game last night, shutting those guys down as Team USA moves into the final.
Did you watch the beginning of that game yesterday, though, Buck?
Saw the whole thing.
Are you just a little bit worried about Wainwright there at the beginning?
No, not when he started throwing that curveball up there.
He couldn't find the zone with a fastball. And yeah, they were making some light contact, but bases loaded, no outs.
You want a future Hall of Famer pitching for you.
Oh, yeah, he settled in and had overall a great outing.
I mean, he wanted to play. A lot of guys don't, especially the pitchers this early in the year. Wanted to be a part of this. That curveball may be the best I've ever seen. Nolan Ryan's was awesome. But this Uncle Charlie, Adam Wainwright's got one of the best curveballs I've ever seen.
I'll take Max Fried's, Buck.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, Fried's got a great one, too. He's got a great one, too. But looking forward to seeing the finale tomorrow night as we either going to get Japan or Mexico in the finale. I'm hoping we get Japan. Not that I'm afraid of Mexico. We've already played them. Want to see Ohtani go up against this lineup we're throwing out.
Oh, definitely.
There.
And that would make it a great, you know, international, obviously, event with Japan, obviously, on the other side of the world. But I mean, Mexico's got to be considered one of our biggest rivals. That could be a lot of fun, too.
Yeah, and look, things, Altuve could have gotten hit playing a spring training game just as easy as playing in the WBC. So I'm going to disagree with Oberman, who I have never been a big fan of. He's probably not a big fan of mine. But that's all right, too. Meaningless is what Oberman called it. If it's meaningless, then why are we packing the house to see these teams play? Why are these stars, like I mentioned, the lineup we've got, why are they signing up to be a part of it if it's meaningless? Trey Turner's had some great moments in Major League Baseball, but he's saying that's the biggest moment of his career. That home run that he had, and boy, another big night out of Trey last night, 3-for-5 against Cuba with two bombs, scored two runs and drove in four, swinging a big, big bat. A little easier to pull for him. Again, with that Team USA uniform on there. So, yeah, we're going to, looks like we'll throw out a guy that you probably never heard of. We'll talk a little later in the show, who we're going to pitch. DeRosa's going to hand the ball to in tomorrow night's finale as the championship will be on the line. Right now, though, man, I'm looking forward to talking a little Falcons football.
The Dirty Birds are in our blood. And guys like Buck know what's happening in the huddle. Let's dive into Falcons football on The Fan.
Yeah, Falcons have been busy shopping over the weekend, man. They've been shopping nonstop since that curtain opened on free agency. And they did some more shopping over the weekend. Now, this time it was some discount bargain shopping, trying to fill some holes. One is wide receiver. They signed the Raiders' Mack Hollins, and he's another big dude. Art Smith loves these big receivers. Mack Hollins coming in from the Raiders, where he had a career year, 57 catches and 4 touchdowns. Been around the block a little bit, 30 years old now. Here's what Arthur Smith loves about Mack Hollins. He's one of the best run blockers out of any wide receiver in football. Coach Smith wants to pound it at you. And it was a pretty good little bargain deal, too. 1 year, $1.25 million. Now, look at the big threats, the big targets our quarterback's going to have in the upcoming season. Drake London, Kyle Pitts, Jonnu Smith. Now add Mack Hollins to the deal. All these guys, 6'3", 6'4", 210, 225 pounds. Don't we need a little slot receiver, though, to fit in? I'm not sure Art's going to get there. But Mack Hollins is going to be wearing a Falcons uniform this season. Also added a little more depth at cornerback. Re-signed Cornell Armstrong. Probably didn't even know he played with the Falcons last season. Started a couple of games. So this is depth. You don't look at Cornell Armstrong as a starter in the best-case scenario. Darren Hall, D. Alford, you got Hayward. I think all those guys, all of them won't make the team. With Trufant on one side, you got to figure the Falcons are going big at the cornerback spot in the draft. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking eighth pick of the first round, you're going with the best cornerback on the board, and it might be the top-rated cornerback. We've talked about that several times here on the show over the last couple of weeks. Now to the wicked rumor that's floating around. Have you heard about this one? The Falcons reportedly, word on Peachtree Street, looking to trade up to the number 3 spot. Move up from 8 to 3 to select Florida quarterback Anthony Richardson. Now, what would it take to get up there and take Richardson, who is a freak as far as the combine went? Not so impressed with him as a quarterback when you go 11 on 11 and put the pads on. But boy, I tell you, wearing the underwear Olympics, this guy looked tremendous at the combine. Here's what the reported deal would be to get up to number 3 and do a trade with Phoenix. Obviously, you give up the 8th pick. You would give up your second round pick, pick number 44. You would give up next year's first round pick. You would give up Desmond Ridder, the quarterback, would go to the Cardinals. And I'm assuming Heinicke would be the starter in 2023 as you try to coach up and groom up Anthony Richardson. 404-231-1680, the number. We'd love to hear what you think about that. Now, the rumor saying Falcons looking to trade up to 3 to take one of these top quarterbacks. Well, look. Frank Wright goes with the bigger quarterback. He's never gone with a little quarterback. So go ahead and expect Charlotte to take C.J. Stroud with the number 1 pick. I'm ready to write that down with a Sharpie. C.J. Stroud, first overall pick to the Panthers. And you got the Houston Texans sitting at 2, desperate for a quarterback, and they take Bryce Young. Phoenix doesn't need a quarterback. I'm sure they're willing to trade out of that 3 spot, and they're entertaining offers. So what team is desperate enough to move up to 3 and take the QB? And some might say, no, that's Will Levis. Well, I don't know. Coming off the combine, it seems like a lot of people, including the media, have fallen in love with a former Gator quarterback, who, in my opinion, and I've been very upfront with you about this, my opinion is at least 2 to 3 years away from playing at a high caliber at the NFL level. Not accurate with the football. Not a guy that's comfortable standing in the pocket and reading coverage after the snap, which you've got to be able to do at the NFL level to thrive. Richardson's not there yet. Now, he can run a fast 40. He can jump high. He can jump far. He can throw it 80 yards. And all that's fine and impressive at the combine. But is he really ready to play a high caliber football at quarterback in the NFL? I say no. I'm going to disagree with Orlovsky on this one. Could the Falcons really be ready to trade up to 3 to get Anthony Richardson?
It's almost like the cliche when we talk about this, but is it possible many of these NFL coaches, I can teach this guy how to play football. I can teach this guy to read the coverage, to get the ball out when he needs to.
But the Florida coaching staff couldn't?
Well, maybe that's what Arthur Smith or some other NFL team might be thinking.
Well, I'm sure, yeah, and that's always the case.
Can't teach that size, can't teach that speed. Although, I agree with you,
there's always going to be some sucker that thinks, okay, I can make the difference in this young man's career.
Jamarcus
Russell.
Not just
Anthony Richardson, but in this scenario, there's always going to be some coach, some GM that believes, with us, it'll be different. Oh, yeah, it's going to be different. I hope they don't do this. I hope they don't do it. And I'm a guy that doesn't even believe in Ritter. Brian joins us on The Fan talking Falcons football. Hello, Brian.
Hey, Buck. How you doing, bud?
Man, we're doing well. What you think about this?
So, I think it's ridiculous. First of all, who wants Anthony Richardson? He went to Florida, for God's sake. Number two, if you're going to trade up to number 3, I'm a big Alabama fan. Get Will Anderson if you're going to trade up at number 3. And I'll leave it at that. Thanks, Buck. Love your show, buddy.
Hey, thanks, man. We appreciate you. Yeah, Will Levis he's talking about trading up to get.
Oh, I thought he meant Will Anderson. Sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
Oh, Will Anderson.
Yeah,
Jr.
He mentioned he's a Tide man. Yeah.
Well, and that could be a smokescreen, too. People just say, okay, the word is the Falcons, behind the scenes are looking to trade up to 3, and they should be. This is what Fontenot should be doing. Because the Cardinals, they don't need a quarterback. So the Falcons should be working this angle. And then everybody's, they're jumping in trying to get a quarterback. They're on that Anthony Richardson bandwagon. Look out. And it could be that the Falcons, who are desperate for an edge rusher, I can't remember the last time we had a legitimate edge rusher. John Abraham, I believe it was. So maybe that's the deal here. But I was going to throw this out there because I wanted to see the reaction. It seems like 9 out of 10 Falcons fans are totally sold on Desmond Ridder taking them to the promised land. And in this scenario I threw out there, the Falcons would be trading Desmond Ridder to go out to Arizona and be the backup for their starting quarterback. But yeah, could be Falcons looking for an edge rusher, and they should be. They should be. All right, let's talk a little college basketball, man. A lot going on. Got the big dance, really entertaining. My bracket's busted. How about yours?
You can't be the only one, Buck, with all these great upsets we've seen all weekend.
I believe it was like Friday, or was it Saturday over the weekend? There are no perfect brackets left. Yeah, zero.
That didn't take long.
Two number ones advanced to the Sweet 16. Got a couple of Cinderellas. How about Princeton making some noise into the Sweet 16? Now, normally, the classic overachiever, Princeton gets in. They play smart. Play disciplined basketball. And, look, they've got a history of knocking off somebody in the first round. They don't have a history going to the Sweet 16. But yet, there they are. Took down number 2, Arizona. Number 7, Missouri. Going to face Creighton in the Sweet 16. How about Florida Atlantic, a 9 seed getting in? Looking good last night, taking down Farley Dickinson, who took down number 1 Purdue, who was awful. Just awful. 3 SEC teams make it to the Sweet 16. You got number 1 Alabama, you got Tennessee and Arkansas. Alabama trying to advance to their first Final Four with a win over Maryland In that second round, who they beat? Texas A&M Corpus Christi. That's right, in the first round. So Alabama cruising into the Sweet 16. Brandon Miller, 19, and the win over the Terps. Didn't shoot the ball that great. But needless to say, let's hear from Brandon Miller talking about the Tide advancing to the Sweet 16.
It felt great just being out there. It's just a blessing just being out there. I think growing up as a kid, for all kids, it's a dream for them. And just to be here, it's just a blessing to be here to play and compete with my team.
Yeah, he's been playing under a lot of pressure going on off the court there, obviously. Alabama, step up in competition, man. That San Diego State squad, they're going to play in the Sweet 16. Really impressive. That game going down in Louisville coming up on Friday. Tennessee Volunteers, man. I tell you what, a veteran squad with four seniors, and they're playing bully ball with the Tennessee Volunteers, man. Physical. We're going to beat you up. We're going to play tough. We're hard-nosed. We're going to throw some elbows up high and see if we can break your nose. That Duke team stacked with freshmen, just not really able to hold up to that. Let's hear from Coach Barnes talking about why the Vols have had success.
We train hard. We work hard. Many teams work really, really hard. But if you could be with us and be with these guys over the last 4 years of what we've gone through, but if the work ethic they put into it. And we say it all the time, let's trust our training. Let's trust each other. And I think that we're built for the way we play. And I think these guys, they certainly believe in each other.
And so the Vols moving on. And I just want to throw it out there. You know, people all over the country talking about the Duke freshmen and how they got beat up by Tennessee and this bully ball approach they're playing. I think Kyle Filipowski, the freshman center, man, I thought he held up pretty tough, man. He got that elbow under the eye. It cut him wide open. And he came out and played tough the entire game. I give him credit. Dude played tough. So it wasn't all those freshmen intimidated by this Volunteer style. And I'm going to tell you another thing, too. Coach K would have been raising Cain at those officials for allowing Tennessee to play that bully ball style. He would have been raising Cain with those guys. Instead, I think he's laying by a beat somewhere. Vols advanced to the Sweet 16. Remember, heading into the big dance, they had lost 6 out of 10. Playing some good basketball, good tough basketball right now. Just looking to beat you up. And then Kentucky letting down the SEC again. What is going on with the Kentucky Wildcats? They fall to K-State. K-State missed their first 13 threes in the game. Calipari's team not able to hold them off. They led by 8 in the second half and then let it slip down the stretch. This is the third year in a row, no Sweet 16 for the Kentucky Wildcats. Let's hear from Coach Cal after the game talking about the frustration.
I have empathy. You know, I understand what this program's about. I think, again, that's what makes it what it is, and that's why I tell players this isn't for everybody, because the expectations are so high. The same with coaching. It's not for everybody. This thing is, there's a high expectation level, and it is Kentucky. You put that on, the other team's going to play out of their minds, and they're going to play like they have nothing to lose, and that means you got to play that way. So, yeah, I understand it, but, you know, my concern of these kids, and I tried to keep what you're saying off of them.
Yeah, Coach Callender, a little bit of heat. Last season, Kentucky knocked out in the first round by St. Peter's. And they go down to K-State this time around. By the way, I've got a new favorite player in college basketball, and it's K-State point guard Marquise Noel.
Yeah, just a little dude, but he runs around. How about?
Dude, 5'8", goes for 27 with 9 assists against the vaunted Kentucky Wildcats, 23 in the second half when they needed the little man to step up in a big, big way. Noel was awesome for K-State. I'm going to admit, I knew nothing about him during the regular season.
even though he's third team AP All-American. What a performance he put on. Man, just tremendous. And then Arkansas looking good, too. Took down Kansas. They led for 143, a minute and 43 seconds. But the most important, 1 minute and 43 seconds. Taking down number one Kansas, 72-71. How about Musselman after the game? Did you see him rip that shirt off, jump up on the scorer's table, waving to those Arkansas fans? A no-shirt celebration. I can't say I've ever seen that before. I'm glad, you know, some of those other coaches hadn't done that. Musselman looks like at least like he's been working out. So the Hogs, third straight Sweet 16 appearance. Musselman has been coaching the boys up, man. It's been an entertaining NCAA tournament. Really entertaining. Let's get to the Bulldog Roundtable.
The Fan is proud to be the official sports talk station of the Dogs. And it's time for Bulldog Roundtable with Buck Ballou.
25-20, far sideline, 15-10-5. Get in there! Touchdown!
Bulldog Roundtable is proudly presented by Georgia's Own Credit Union and by attorney Ken Nugent.
And that's going to be the ballgame. Georgia will win this ballgame.
Only on The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
Heads up, looking to tomorrow, we'll have Zion Logue on the program, the show. We talk Bulldog football. Today, just some news and notes. How about the Lady Dogs basketball team? A 10 seed going into the tournament, had a really good run. Went down to number two Iowa yesterday. Caitlin Clark, you know, that star player for Iowa, she is tremendous. Had 22 points in Iowa's win. Lady Dogs played them tough, though. Played them back and forth all the way down to the wire. Diamond battles, 21 points for the Lady Dogs. Hey, a shout out to an outstanding season there for the Lady Dogs basketball team. And a shout out to Coach Manny Diaz, the Bulldog men's tennis coach. They're ranked number 10 in the country. And what an exciting comeback win over number 18 Tennessee over the weekend. It was Letterman's weekend over at Georgia. And as you know, one of the great college tennis programs in the country. It's what Manny's running over there in Athens. And they were able to fight off a couple of multiple match points in this match against number 8 Tennessee to win 4-3. Manny, great job, man. That was outstanding. Now, the news not so good with the Diamond Dogs. Open the SEC play with new uniforms. I give the new uniforms a thumbs up. But the Diamond Dogs get swept at home by South Carolina, who's ranked in the top 25. Really good ball club. They got some great pitching, South Carolina does. Georgia lets game one slip in the ninth inning. Lost 12-1 yesterday. Got outscored in games 2 and 3, 24-3.
That's the bad part, in my opinion. I mean, welcome to SEC play, right? This is what we talked about off the air earlier in the season. Not only did they get swept in the two games you're talking about, the second doubleheader on Saturday and yesterday, you got run ruled. So it ended in the seventh inning because you were losing by 10 runs, which is another layer of ouch, I guess.
Yeah, the weakness for Georgia was expected to be the pitching. You know, the lineup, they'd been scoring a lot of runs coming into the weekend play against South Carolina, opening up the SEC play. They scored 7 runs in 3 games. Try to rebound at Auburn later this week. And there's your Bulldog Roundtable. Hey, Steve's been hanging. Let's bring on Steve to the Buck Ballou Show here on The Fan. Steve, thanks for hanging on, man. What's going on?
Hey, Buck, how you doing?
We're doing well.
Hey, just a thought. So how many years does a new coach get in the NFL, 4 or 5?
I wouldn't say typically it lasts that long, especially when you have a losing record every year.
Well, so if you get the blank regime to agree to a quarterback that's going to be a project for 2 to 3 years, does that not buy you more time?
Yeah, when you look at the empty seats down at MBS, I think that sort of trumps everything else. I mean, this is the entertainment business. You got to pack the house. And now we've seen attendance be really embarrassing. In fact, I'm sure Mr. Blank has contacted
Fox and said, can you keep those camera shots really tight so everybody won't be able to see watching on TV the number of empty seats we've got at MBS? It's been bad entertainment is what it's been under Arthur Smith. And look, you cut him a break initially because, well, they don't have a roster to go out and play competitive football. But this is a big season for Arthur Smith, in my opinion. Are they trying to, you know, delay getting fired? Well, I'm sure of it. Wouldn't you? I think really, though, they've got to behind the scenes be wondering, and I'm wondering publicly because I'm in that business here in Sports Talk Radio. I'm not a believer in Desmond Ritter. I don't think he's going to lead you to the promised land. And so if they have any indication of feeling that way, then I'm sure they're out there looking for a way to improve that quarterback spot. But if they did this deal I was talking about, traded up to 3, took Anthony Richardson, then to me, that makes Heinicke the starting quarterback. See in that muffler business? Oh, that's Heinicke. Yeah. He's a heck of a football player, though. I'll give him credit for that. All right, we'll come back, wrap things up. Got some prayers up for a big-name guy. We'll talk about that next. It's the Buck Belue Show here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Belue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Let's find out what's popping.
Here on the Belue Show, we appreciate you hanging out. Hawks brutal yesterday, losing to the NBA's worst team after having a 24-point lead. And there's some word on the street. It's dysfunctional in that front office. Reportedly, GM Landry Fields was not on board with hiring Quinn Snyder as the head coach. That was the owner's son and Kyle Korver pushing that agenda. Not sure if that's true or not, but sure was a mess yesterday. Hawks fall to 35-36 on the season. All right, we got the Masters coming up in a couple of weeks. And in golf, George Spieth blew another opportunity to win yesterday. He was tied for the lead, heading down the stretch. Finished bogey, par, bogey at the Valspar Copperhead course, which is pretty tough, by the way. But he's had a tie for 6 at Phoenix, tie for 4th at Bay Hill, now a T3. Yesterday, just not able to close it out. What's going on with Spieth?
Well, you've been talking about Buck the driver. If he doesn't hit it in the water, what was that, 17? He hits it in the water, and he's pretty much done there. 16, I should say.
Yeah.
And then misses the short birdie putt on 17.
Congrats to Taylor Moore, though. First tour win. Gets $1 million and an invitation to the Masters. Hello, friends. Awesome. All right, let's get to the final word.
Time for the final word. Brought to you by Howard Brothers, keeping Georgia green since 1955.
All right, prayers up for Shaquille O'Neal. Saw a photograph of Shaq in a hospital bed yesterday on social media. Not sure what Shaq's dealing with, but prayers up for Shaq, thinking about him, praying for him. Hope everything's going to be okay. All right, it's going to do it for my show. Hey, check out the podcast, the show podcast. If you're not around from 10 to 11, you can check it out a little later in the show. Plus, I got Bucks Beat out there, episode 83, breaking down the Georgia quarterback competition with David Green. Podcast Park, brought to you by Associated Credit Union. Check it out at thepodcastpark.com. Nick and Chris are coming up next. Hey, spring's underway. Spring begins today. A little cold for that, isn't it? Have a great rest of the day, everybody.
Thank you, Buck.
Okay, thanks a lot, Buck.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.